Party time, Mom. We are here in the Mothership Studio 22. Puppet Master Mark sitting over here at the helm flying this starship.
Hello.
My brother! Candice, queen of the Ethiopians. Girl, let me tell you something. You got a hole in your jacket. I like it, though.
T-Diddy.
The Tim DiDonato. I wish they would bring back that clothing line.
$17.91,
because that's some cool stuff. The Glenn Beck's clothing line.
Best pair of jeans.
Glenn Beck's had his hand in everything, but like $175 pair of jeans?
I think it was $125. I think you were right.
Yeah, it was something like that. Not too bad, but it was like $125? All made in America type outsourced from America.
I want my jeans from Japan. They know how to do denim.
Yeah.
I just dressed like the mannequin at Forever 21.
I have a pair of jeans in the cleaners right now getting a patch put on the hole.
No, you're not.
Yes, they're right now today.
Don't do that.
Where's the hole?
It's like right here. I don't know.
In the crotch.
It's not even on the knee. It's like above the knee. And I'm like, can y'all patch that up? Yeah, I'll do it.
Don't wear patchy jeans, James.
Here's what I want to talk about today on this podcast. I want to talk about men. I want to talk about men, okay? Mm-hmm. Don't shake your head at me, Bougie. Don't shake your head at me. I want to talk about men. You're a man. Tyson's a man. Yeah. Tyson Pfeiffer sitting over here. Bougie Sean, Party Foul Steve, Mark's in here. Candice is surrounded by the testosterone. Not mine, because I don't have any left in my body. I'm 46 years old, and I'm depleted. There are women out there that have more testosterone in their body. I'm all estrogen at this point.
Spread way too much testosterone.
Listen, I got so many women in my household, I'm in cycle with them. I'm telling you, I got a mother, I got a mother-in-law, I got a wife, I got three daughters. It's trouble. I'm depleted, man. I'm depleted. If I shave my legs, the hair wouldn't come back.
I believe that. I've seen your legs.
Why would you shave your legs?
I'm telling you, they're thinning out. Every day I look in the mirror and I'm my dad. I'm my father, man. I'm starting to look like I do things. I got the mannerisms. Do you do that?
Yes, I do. I'll look in the mirror and I'll get it. I'll have that brief moment of, that's my dad.
Yeah, even though you were over-mothered?
Yeah, I was probably over-mothered, yeah.
No, there's no probably to it. No. No probably to it.
You were too.
Yeah, well.
I don't know my dad.
We're trying to break stereotypes.
I don't know my daddy.
Why you got to step in like that? Why you got to step in like that?
Sorry.
That's messed up.
I do know my dad.
We're talking about mothers.
He was around.
I want to talk about men. So we talk about toxic masculinity. Talk about living in the age of Me Too. We have all this crazy stuff. Like there was a tweet that came out. Bette Midler. Remember Bette Midler?
Yeah.
She's crazy. Leftist. Nuts.
Blonde-headed lady. I kind of...
You know, wind beneath my wings.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Rings a bell a little
bit. Terms of endearment.
Okay. I know who you're talking about.
Was she in that? I don't even know.
She's an actress, right?
I don't think she was.
Is she a comedian or an actress or both?
That was Deborah Winger and Glenn Close. Yeah. No, that was Meryl Streep. I don't even know. I don't care about it. I don't like women. She's all of that. Comedian, actress, singer, wind beneath my wings.
Yeah, she's...
So, Bette Midler. See how irrelevant she is? We don't even know. We don't really care. But she's somebody. Anyway, so she's crazy. And she came out with a tweet about Leanne Tweeden. Now, Leanne Tweeden is the woman who did the USO show. She went over with Al Franken and was apparently sexually harassed. There was the picture that came out where he was grabbing her, pretending to grab her chest while she was...
Is that where they were on an airplane or
in the airplane, and she was wearing fatigues, and she was wearing, you know, the body armor and the helmet, and she was asleep, and he had his hands out there like that. And then, of course, she had some other accusations for him. Well, then this picture has emerged of her wearing lingerie with her exposed breasts, okay? And so Bette Midler basically came out with a tweet, and I'm paraphrasing, that said she deserved it. If that's what you're asking for, that's what you're going to get. Norm MacDonald, comedian Norm MacDonald, Saturday Night Live, Norm MacDonald came out and said, you know, look, that's, you know, you're crazy. I mean, this is dumb. You just because somebody's done something like that, you can't justify that kind of behavior around. Mm-hmm. That's what the whole Me Too movement is built on, is, you know, you've got these people who rather, you can't take advantage of someone just because they've worn something provocatively or they've been in, you know, some thing. You can't just
use
that.
Yeah, that's two different instances.
You can't use that as an excuse.
They're separate deals.
If I run into Elle McPherson, I'm going to think of her in Sports Illustrated 1985, and I'm going to think of her in Playboy 1992. But anyway, that's what I'm, but I'm not going to bring that up. And we're not going to have that conversation.
Page 72.
I'm not going to do the things to her physically in her presence that I did to her in my mind when I was in college. But that's a whole other deal. And I'm sorry, Mom, it's party time and I'm staying horned. So just relax. We're talking about men stuff here.
Yeah. Man stuff.
This is man stuff. Hey! This is man stuff. But that's the thing. You can't act on those things, right? So that's the deal. But these days, things are taken so far to an extreme, you can't flirt with a female. Now, we're married. I'm talking about single guys, right?
You know? Yeah.
You can't.
I think even as a married male, we still flirt.
Our wives do. I've seen it. Yeah. I've seen your wife flirt with.
Well, I do it, too. I flirt.
I know. You guys are in a competition.
Yeah.
You guys are constantly. If you, Bougie Shaughnessy, guys.
I love the opposite sex. So I like to talk to them. I like
we
to.
We know.
You know?
We know. So, I've seen you guys in action. It's like y'all are trying to outdo each other.
Yes,
like who can out flirt when y'all got in public. But that's what y'all do. Y'all are married. Yeah. You've been together 20 years.
Yep.
Y'all knock yourselves out. It's fun. Y'all are crazy.
We take it home and take it out on each other.
So. Okay.
Whoa. It's going to be one of them episodes, Candice.
Yeah. Hey, Candice, like
queen of the Ethiopians over here.
This ain't about men.
Oh, boy. All
right, on to the next.
Here's what I want to talk about, though. This whole thing, like, can you imagine? Let me paint a picture for you. Social media, all this stuff, like, it made the world smaller.
Absolutely.
Used to not know people. There were strangers in the world. It was good to have strangers in the world. Now I have complete strangers that I don't know. I don't know them. I don't know their names. I don't know where I've never interacted with them. Are telling me on social media how to live my life. Like they want to jump on here and tell me I need to do something different. Or, you know, I had a lady that told me that I'd become an arrogant little you know, because of whatever. And I'm like, look, I'm just out here running my mouth. I'm mostly arrogant.
I was going to say, some days you are arrogant.
I'm a reasonably big okay? So that's it. All I'm saying is, when you look at something like that, you have strangers putting input in your life, right?
All the time.
Used to be great when you just had to go out into public and interact with people. Remember those days? That was great. I feel sorry for young men these days. Like, you used to be able to go out to a restaurant, go to a bar, go to a public place, go to a church function, whatever, and you could meet someone, ask them out because you were attracted to them because you had gotten to know them a little bit. Can't do that these days. I mean, you can, but people don't do it.
I was going to say they don't.
Everything is online, whether it's a dating website or it's a social media deal. So now your group of girls, what are we going to do Friday night? Okay, we're going to go here. And then they go out like a pack. And you can't break into that pack. You can't do that. You can't cull one out of the herd. You can't do any of that. Because if you're not part of their pack, they're not letting you in.
It's either that or if you just don't, these young men that are growing up now, they don't know how to
interact
with that group to cull that one out of the herd so they can get a date with them.
And let me just tell you, when the boys go out, there are no girls trying to cull any of you out.
No.
They're not doing that because it's girls' night. Yeah. You know, like Quinn Patterson, our buddy Quinn Patterson talks about the whole, you know, the girls go, the little huddle up in the bathroom. They're like, okay, now you're going to do this. Terry, you're going to do this. And Becky, okay, Terry, you're going to, you know, so they give each other assignments on how they're going to, you know, protect the pack. Candace, are we close on this at all? No. Sort of. Social media's messed it up, right?
I'm not.
You don't know.
I'm not.
You've never lived life without social media, so you don't know
what goes on in that bathroom with a group of girls.
Party foul wants to know.
I want to know.
Party foul demands.
It's not that interesting.
I've only been in the women's bathroom when no other women are there. So what goes on?
That's a great plan.
That was at a Quick Trip, and I locked the door behind me. I'm just saying, it's hard to be a dude these days. Right? It's
hard. You got to keep your hands to yourself.
Because we live in a day and age. But yeah, you've never figured out how to do it, Steve.
Nope.
You never figured out. We live in a day and age where the objectification of the female body and sex has thrown at us more, thrown at men, thrown at culture more prevalently than any other time in history. These aren't the days of the JCPenney catalog where they were selling lingerie. Then it went to Victoria's Secret. Now you have online pornography, which is problematic. You have everything from car commercials all the way down to how you're going to eat, which brand of Doritos, what flavored Doritos you're going to eat. Sex is selling everything. But yet you're told that if you even make some sort of an advance, I'm not talking about harassment or abuse or rape or something like that. Those are serious accusations. But these days, if you make an advance towards someone of the opposite sex, you could be accused of sexual harassment. What do you do with this? How do you live in this day and age? Is everybody just going to be celibate?
I'm going to be that old grandpa that's going to be still catcalling people. Hey, girl, come here, girl. Come over here, sugar. Come over here. Come sit in my lap.
Hey, mommy.
When you're an old guy, can't you get away with that?
My late grandfather, who I miss him dearly. I'm a lot like him in many ways. He'd go into Waffle House and order a $2 cup of coffee and tip her $15. Tip the waitress $15 if he liked them.
Yeah, because he got in there and he had a good conversation with a female.
Hey, girl. Hey, darling. Hey, come here, girl. Mm-hmm. You know, that whole thing. And I mean, he was innocent. God, he was 80 years old.
And she probably talked to him just right. So she was going to get a big tip.
So Jade will tell you, my wife will tell you, if I'm sitting in a Waffle House, if I'm in the restaurant or whatever, I can always tell. Like if I'm having a good time, you know, we're sitting there, we're having dinner or whatever, and somebody comes up, and I got old Nelda. You know, Nelda tells me about which toe she got taken off. she works at a Waffle House, and she talked about whichever surgery she just had left, and they keep taking toes off, and every now and then she pull her foot right out of the deal. Well, I call Nelda baby and darling and hey girl and hey honey and all that stuff. Well, I mean, I'm not catcalling Nelda.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just being sweet to Nelda because she understands that's the language. And people say, well, is that sexist? I don't know. It depends on how you determine sexism, how you define it. Me, I'm just being sweet to a lady. She loves it. She enjoys it. We have a good time.
I always think it's funny because, you know, you go into a restaurant and you have a waitress that's, you know, they call you sweetie or baby, the older ones. But every now and then, it'll be a young one that'll say something like that.
Yeah.
And is that just the way they've grown up?
I like
or
it.
It's not necessarily in today's culture.
I do it all the time. You know, somebody's like, thank you, baby. I'll say thank you, baby. You know, Jade will tell you right now. She knows. We have to talk to somebody. Thank you, baby. I don't care if it's the teller at the bank.
Yeah.
I'm not objectifying them. It's just a Southern colloquialism because, you know, back when I did Unapologetically Southern, that's one of the things I said. You grew up in the South, people get used to hearing darling and dear and baby and honey and all these things. And it's not, we're not objectifying you. It's just something that people say. It's just a colloquialism.
Somebody said that to me in New Orleans the other day. Somebody said, thank you, sugar. And I said, whoa.
Sugar.
You just sugar me?
Brown sugar.
And you okay. liked it, though, didn't you?
I thought for a second, I was like, that's kind of sweet,
I always think it's cool. I mean, so
sugar. Mm.
I look. Okay, so I'm extroverted. I'm flirtatious. We all know that. You're flirtatious. You're flirtatious. You know, if I go out, if somebody comes up to me at the show, they meet me. Usually, I'm gonna hug their neck. Now I can tell if they don't want that.
Okay? Yeah, you can always.
It's body language. Somebody comes up, and I have women all the time. You know, they come. I'll hug their neck. You know. I'll shake their hand if that's what I feel like I need to do. I'll give them a sidearm hug. I'll hug them full frontal. I don't care. Because I'm not trying to objectify you. I'm just being sweet to you.
I notice that, like, at the shows, the ladies will tell you what, no, I want a real hug.
Yeah, they do.
And they'll come right out and tell you.
They'll grab you right on the butt.
Yep, real hug. They want the plumbing to line up.
Yes. That's exactly true. And I always try to do a side hug because I want to be respectful and I don't want anybody to accuse me of something that's not.
Because you probably took a Viagra 3 hours earlier, and that's weird, man. Like lock and key.
Stay horned.
Yeah, lock and key. So, yeah, stay horned. No, but you're right, Tyson, talk about that. Now, you're a single dude.
Yeah.
You're out and about. You're living on the road.
I'm working it.
Yes.
Chad, I want to know, where is this Waffle House located with the missing
woman? Oh, I'll tell you, it's down in Burleson, man. Down there where we live in Burleson, it's our local Waffle House. Nelda, she was off for like 9 months. She was working at another location. Then she came back over, lost two more toes.
I got it. I got to go see her.
You got to meet Nelda.
What's her footwear?
She'll tell you a joke. She'll just wear a like open comfortable tennis shoe. No.
Okay. She didn't drop a butcher knife on him, did she?
No, she's got the diabetes.
Okay.
Got the diabetes. So they had to take a toe.
She was born diabetes.
And she'll show you, she's like, oh, I took my toe off, and I'm trying to eat, you know, double brown, scatter smothered, and covered with, you know.
Keep the sausage links.
Got it.
You know, I just want my grits with extra butter, and I, you know, have a Texas patty melt and the whole thing.
Now I want Waffle House.
I want Waffle House too. Like, okay. So let's talk about dude things. Let's talk about this concept of let's get away from that because I'm gonna come back to it in a minute.
Okay.
Let's talk about this concept of beta males. Beta males. This idea that you have to metrosexual yourself or just kind of feminize yourself, and it just becomes soft. Like you. If some woman pulls her foot shoe out and her foot is missing a toe and she wants to show you their stitches, now I can't eat my grits, right? I can't eat my waffle.
Beta male.
Well, I mean, come on.
Alpha male would eat his grits.
I'd eat her toe.
It's the worst.
I'd kiss her stitch.
I've kind of got an issue with both sides of it. The super alpha male and then the super
extreme.
I'm not talking
about the steroided tiny nut dude that.
Yeah, well, they just ones that think they're alpha males.
Yeah, they want to come out there and they're like they feel like they're brutes, like they got to prove themselves.
They're trying
all
to
the
overcompensate
time.
For something.
Yeah. I mean, look at Tyson. Tyson's an American Ninja Warrior, right? He does all this stuff. He weighs 95 pounds.
I'm 175. What do you mean?
Well, okay, so add 70. Machine. All right, 80 pounds to him. Add 80 pounds. And so. You know, add a small child to Tyson, that's what you get. But, I mean, that's a great athlete. Like, I wouldn't tangle with him. I'd never try to put Tyson Pfeiffer in my pocket.
I have an official USA Boxing record of 1-0. That's for real. I did a radio stunt for the ticket here a couple years ago, and I won.
You do everything, Tyson.
Won third round TKO, okay? I won. Yeah. This is a true story. Nice. There's a video out there. I wore a tutu, and here's why I wore a tutu. Because if I doesn't matter if I won or I lost, if I'm wearing a tutu, the other guy, like his friends are going to be like, yeah, you won, but you beat a guy in a tutu. Right? But now he lost, and so his friends are going to be like, yeah, you lost to a man in a tutu. So that was my go-to. I had a Ninja Turtle tutu on, and hey, won third round. 1-0 in boxing, baby.
Nice.
So I'm the USA official boxing record. Had to weigh in, everything.
So you're a professional boxer, so I'm not going to mess
retired
with a professional.
Undisputed, undefeated.
Undisputed.
What I want to know, though, okay, so we've established we live in an age of objectification. It's hard to be a man. We've talked about, this other stuff about just going out there and being comfortable as a man, the beta male thing. And then all of a sudden you start talking about toxic masculinity, which to me, I don't believe toxic masculinity. It's an oxymoron. If you're toxic, you're not truly masculine.
True.
If you're truly masculine, you're not toxic. Because a masculine guy, there's no apologizing for being strong, no apologizing for being, just rough. Just being a dude.
Yeah.
And so I saw this video the other day, because let's face it, we have these transgender guys that are going into women's sports and just beating their ass. I mean, they're just, you know, there was a deal ridiculous. 2 weeks ago where this guy, this transgender dude, woman, whatever he wants to call himself, he had balls, okay? So he can call himself what he wants, but he had testicles.
He's a man.
And he was mad because he went in to get a Brazilian wax or whatever, and they wouldn't wax his balls.
He's going to the wrong place.
Yeah. He went to the
Steve's a problem solver.
I mean, you're just in the wrong place. Go to a place that will.
Yeah.
There's a business. There's somebody out there that will.
Somebody will wax
That's
your
like
balls.
The whole baking the cake thing. Okay, they won't make your cake. Go to a different place.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like, they won't wax your balls.
Don't go to
go
the
to
pretty
different
kitty
place.
For your sack situation, you know?
That's...
But that was the whole thing. It was discrimination, and everybody was talking about, oh, they won't wax this woman's balls. I mean, these were literal statements that were being made. They won't wax this woman's balls. Now, look, I know if you can't handle this podcast episode, I really don't care because I'm sitting in a room full of dudes, and we're going to talk about some real issues here.
Yeah.
This is how ludicrous that this whole world has gotten. I mean, culturally, you got men who are pretending to be women or claiming to be women who are powerlifting, And here you got all these girls. You got girls on college scholarships who have worked their entire life to get a college scholarship. They're going to go out there and run track. And some guy who used to be Leon, and now he's Leota, is going to go out there and beat her ass in the 440. And beat her by, you know, 50 yards.
So yep. What do you do then? Do you just change the mentality of saying sports to just men's sports and women's basketball to just say, hey, we're just going to play basketball. And if you're going to be a woman, if you can make the team, make the team. And then if you get your ass beat, then.
Here's what I want to see. Sean, you bring up a good point. Here's what I want to see. I want to see a transgender basketball player. I want to see somebody that was born a man transition to a woman or claims to be a woman join the WNBA.
Their ratings would go up. People would actually start watching.
I like where your head's at for marketing. I think that's factual.
That's right. Nobody's watching
coming.
It now.
Watch and see. It's coming.
Just change the definition of the sport then.
Identify. Why don't you just have a transgender league?
Or just call
it
sports.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with having a transgender league. You can have a men's league. You got a women's league. Anything wrong with that? Anybody complaining?
No. An either or
league.
That's
what you got. So then you have a both and. Then you have a both and or an either or. And that's what you call it. You call it the both and either or league. You have a transgender league and let transgenders compete with each other. If you were born a woman and you're now taking testosterone and growing a beard, you get in that transgender league. You identify as a man. But if you identify as a woman, you get in that league. That's what you do. Now we got four levels. We got four classifications of how you compete.
What color plaid would their team wear?
Plaid?
Why does it have to be plaid?
Why does it got to be plaid?
What is he talking about?
I thought that was the thing.
We're not doing curling. What are we talking about?
I got a hot sports opinion on this. I think the way to solve it is if you're a man, if you're transitioning into an opposite sex that you feel you are, that's your decision, a choice you're making, and a consequence of that is that you're no longer be able to compete in against biological men, biological women. So what we could have is a whole new league of just co-ed. So it doesn't matter. It's men, women, anyone that's transitioning. So they just all play together because now it doesn't matter if you're a man transitioning to a woman or a woman transitioning to a man. You're playing a co-ed sports league with people that are biologically. So I think that would be the easiest way.
But then you're going to get in trouble when you have a co-ed UFC fight and you have a man beating the hell out of a woman. And then you're like, oh, wait, there goes abuse.
No.
Like it's a full circle.
No, it'll be the other way. It will be the women beating the hell out of the men because it's going to be a biological male identifying as a woman.
It's insane.
Kicking his out of a biological woman that identifies as a man. So it's going to happen every time.
So I don't think for hand-on-hand combat, I don't think that would work. They're doing it, though.
Wasn't that fight? It wasn't UFC.
There was a female that used to be everything
from MMA to boxing. These people are killing each other.
No. I totally agree. I say that situation. I was going on the problem-solving route of how to solve that
problem. I know.
Hand-to-hand combat is not real. It's always going to be a one-on-one. It's just something that you can't do. Just like the high school student we had in Texas, the wrestler that was breaking all the women's wrestling records.
Yeah,
that was all.
Yeah, there were 3 second matches.
It was all hopped up on. Yeah, it was a 15 to 18 year old like boy crushing all the women. It's just
well, it sucks because I read there was an article a couple weeks ago about the people that girls that a girl guy that ran track. And they beat out the two of them. The first and second place beat out all the natural girls, so they're losing out on scholarships. So you have these girls that are real female girls that are
worked their whole life.
They worked their whole life and they can't get a scholarship now because you have people that are transitioning that are taking over that are getting scholarships. That shouldn't happen.
Yeah. Our schools allowed it. I mean.
Culture is allowing it. That's the problem. See, schools can't say no because culture is so deemed it as a thing that now they're going to be accused of hate crimes and sexism and bigotry if they don't allow it. So their hands are tied on this whole deal.
My kid's not running against if she wants to run track, she's not going to run against a transgender. I'm going to be the guy that's going to, I'm sorry, she's not going to do it anymore because that's unfair. If you want to have a world where you have fair stuff, you can't have a guy girl beating the heck out of a girl. I'm going to call it a guy girl. I'm not going to say.
Let me ask you this question. If let's say Quinn is 18 years old, 19 years old. She grows up. She's a young, beautiful woman. And some guy punches her in the face.
I'm gonna knock her out. I'm knock him out. Sorry.
Yeah, but let's say that guy that punched her in the face, because a man shouldn't hit a woman, right? But let's say that man identifies as a woman, so it's a woman that hit a woman, and that, I mean, like, what are you gonna do?
I'm still knocking that punching guy him in out. The face.
Exactly. He's still a he. Come here, bruh. Let me show you how you wax your balls. Yeah. That's what you do, right there. But I have now volunteered to wax your balls.
That's insane.
Your balls coming off with the wax. But you see what I'm saying? This is dumb.
It's unfair.
It's totally unfair. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I think there's men, women, and then the other mix, whatever, co-ed.
But you're gonna have segregation, and it's a circle of there's never gonna be a solution, because they're gonna be like, oh wait, you're separating us now. You're making us our own individuals.
Okay, well, we've always separated. Well, it's just like the Boy Scouts. All of a sudden, they start having girls that make up a Boy Scout troop.
And which that's ridiculous. It's no longer Boy Scouts.
And I understand why they did it, because the Girl Scouts don't do the same things as the Boy Scouts, and they wanted these girls to learn the things that the Boy Scouts were learning. Okay, well, they just could have done it differently. Like, they could have done something else. They didn't have to call it the Boy Scouts. They could have created a whole other division. That's why I'm saying, when it comes to sports, so you could have men's sports, women's sports, you could have transgender sports. You know, those who identify as this, those who identify as that. We have the
Paralympics.
But I mean, you got Special Olympics?
Yeah, the Special Olympics, we can't, nobody's arguing to say, hey, they should be playing basketball with these professionals.
I mean, what if, okay, you remember the Johnny Knox film movie?
Mm-hmm.
Where he goes out and he pretended to be special needs so he could compete, and they could bet on him, and he just beat the hell out of everybody in the Special Olympics. See, like, that's it was a funny movie, but these days, it's a true telling of society. What's keeping somebody from going out and identifying as a special needs person so that they can compete in the Special Olympics? It is stupid. I don't care how mad anyone on the planet gets at me for saying these things. It's stupid. It's dumb. It's ludicrous. It's unfair. It's ridiculous. It's asinine.
And I think they know that, too. Even the ones that argue against that, they know it's stupid.
Like, even the Target stuff.
They just jump in the argument to argue.
Yeah, like going to Target bathroom. Like, if somebody walked to the bathroom after my little girl and it was a guy, I'm going to beat his ass. I'm sorry.
What if he had explosive
Why
diarrhea,
Why you
got
to be so violent, man? Is it because you're black?
What the hell? Because we're talking about man stuff, right? Testosterone.
Man stuff. And this ain't toxic. That's the thing. We say these things. People will say, oh, that's toxic masculinity. No, it's not toxic.
No, I'm defending
it's
my kids.
It's man stuff. Look here. I had a little fuzz on my peach when I was about 12, 13 years old, and I discovered, and I was like, I'm becoming a man. And then all of a sudden, I started having hair on my armpits, things like that, and then I started growing a little hair on my face. So, and I was like, then all of a sudden, the testosterone dropped, and all of a sudden, I was a male dog, man. And I was like, no! I'm a male dog! Alpha, baby, because I don't put up with this nonsense. And all of a sudden, you know what we wanted to do? We want to run around. We want to roughhouse. We want to wrestle with each other. We want to play guns, shoot each other with BB guns, bottle rockets out of our butthole. We did all this stuff, man. You know what? We used to take a pencil and with an eraser and scrape our skin off until we get a scar. I still got a scar. I can see I'm 46 years old. I did it when I was in the sixth grade in Ms. Schaffner's class. Let me tell you something. We did man stuff. You want to meet out on the playground? We met on the playground. We whooped each other's ass. We shook hands after. We hugged each other's neck. We drank beer out in the woods that we stole out of somebody's garage refrigerator. That's what we did. We had this matted up Playboy magazine done been rained on for 6 weeks, and we just peeling pages apart because they sat out in the woods, and we go out there and sneak out there and say, have you seen this one?
We kept ours under the bridge, Bear Creek Bridge.
Everybody did it because we were men. We were boys becoming men. And that's the thing. We were adolescent, but we were boys. And we had testosterone in our blood, in our veins. It came from our balls. And we were like, look at my balls. Look at my balls. And it's true. The problem is, as we grow up, where toxic masculinity comes in, is when they come in, they can't put aside adolescence. They can't step aside and then become men. You can't set aside the childish things. You know what? We still think of women as a Playboy magazine. It's not. Women are individuals that should be respected. They should be protected. They should be guarded. They should be honored. They should be cherished, all these things. But the thing is, what we want to do is stay in that adolescent mindset, like we found us a JCPenney catalog, and we're ogling them.
Straight to the middle.
And the whole deal. You go to the full color right there, bras, panties, bras, panties, bras, panties. That's not what women were created for, man. That's why women, and I'm going to piss everybody off right now. That's why women are about that much shorter than most men. You know why? So your chest, their head can lay right here on your chest. You can put your arms around them, and you can protect them. Just like this. That is a physical fact. And that's the way you were designed to be. And I don't care who thinks any differently. There's, I don't care.
There's a tall woman out there really pissed right now.
But that puts all the good stuff at eye level. And I like that, too. I like that, too. But my wife, man, she fits right here. Right here. My girlfriend's right here. But my wife's right here. And it works, man. That's how you do stuff.
Keep them close to the heart.
You keep them right here. They, you put their head right here to your heart. That's the deal, man. You're a protector. You're a guarder. You're a guide. You are. Yeah, you might be the head of your home, but your wife is the neck that swivels the head. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The whole deal. Mm-hmm. We have different. And better known as a diamond and silk act.
You tell them, Chad.
I am. I'm telling you. We were stupid, but that's the thing. Americans don't know how to become men. They're 45 years old, and they're still in their adolescence.
I think a lot of problems these days is the lack of fathers in the homes, and you know, and the divorce rates are high and stuff like that. Even in a house with both my parents, you know, I think my mother taught me more about being a man. My dad showed me.
Yeah.
You know, by example.
That's a good point. That's actually a good point. So my father died last year. My father's a good man. My father's a quiet man. He's a very strict man. Some people these days would look at how my father disciplined us, and they'd be like, well, that was kind of abusive. Nah, we didn't look at it as abusive. He just bounced that class ring off your head.
Keep it lined out.
You know? I mean, pick you up by your hair, by your neck, whatever, but I mean, we didn't do it again once that had happened. But my mother used to say, now my dad, he was not well. He had some medical issues and things like that, but he worked hard through all of that stuff. So I can remember my dad, you know, he'd come home, he'd worked, you know, 12 hours that day, and he was an engineer, and he had a construction company, and they'd go out there. And then he'd come home, and he would sit down, and he'd fall asleep right in the recliner. We know that. We all grew up with that dad who was doing that. And what was fun is when you would bring your friends home, and they'd be sitting back there. We called it the playroom back there where the television was, and my dad would be over there on the he'd be laying on the recliner, right? And he'd have his pants unzipped, you know, and here's you and your friends or you and your girlfriend or whoever sitting on the couch behind him. He was in his recliner. He just reached down in there and start scratching his stuff. And I'd be like, hey, it's just my dad. But anyway, he didn't care.
Nope.
Doing man care. Stuff.
But my mother used to tell me all the time, she was like, look here, you ain't going to be like that. You're going to come up, you're going to learn how to cook. You're going to learn how to take care of things, clean, iron, all this stuff. And she taught me. My grandmother taught me. And she said, because one day you're going to have a wife, and there are going to be things that ain't your job, that ain't your role, it ain't nobody's role. But one of these days, you're going to have a time where your wife comes in after she's been working all day, and you say, put your feet up, I'm going to take care of dinner, or whatever. And to this day, man, I've lived by that.
I told my wife.
It was, you know, I can remember being a little boy, and my mom saying, hey, go hold that door open. To a stranger, you know, it could be a stranger for her.
Doing
whatever.
To my boys right now.
And like I say, my mother taught me. My dad showed me.
Mm-hmm. My wife walks up to a door right now. Now, you can call this toxic masculinity. You can call it condescending. I don't care. You ain't living my life. You ain't living in my household. Here's the thing. If my wife knows, and she's always known, and I've told her in public, if she starts to reach out towards the door, I've told her, you walk up that door and you stand still. Don't you reach out for a door handle. You wait. If I'm two steps behind you, you wait two steps till I get there. You don't open the door. And I don't care if that pisses somebody off or not.
I do the same thing.
Let me tell you, you know when a man opens a car door for a woman? He's either got a new woman or a new car.
Sometimes both.
That's a fact, Tyson. Either got a new woman or a new car.
just to chime in real quick, that stuff goes a long way, though. Like, I'm from Texas, but I live in California now. And I open the door for people, and they're shocked by it, but then they appreciate it. They're like, oh, my God, that's so nice. Like, somebody hasn't done that in such a long time. And so that...
We're losing
Southern
that.
Charm, so to speak, still goes a long way, and people appreciate it.
People walk up to me at the shows. They come up to do a meet and greet or whatever, and we're out on the road, and I'll tip my hat. Or usually I'll take my hat off, right? And look, my favorite thing ain't taking my hat off. But I'll take my hat off, and I'll hug them one arm or shake their hand or whatever, and I'll do all that stuff. This the woman. And if a man walks up with his woman, if a couple walks up, I always shake the man's hand first. Because, look, I'm not going to just start hugging on your woman until I've met you. Because that's just respect. And so, you know, you have to look at things like that. These days, I was in L.A., And I was over in, I was in Beverly Hills. I was at the mall, and this woman was walking with a baby stroller, and she was walking towards the department store. And I came out of the department store, so I naturally just helped grab the door and pulled it back open for her. And I was like, oh, I might have just done a bad thing here, because I'm in Beverly Hills, and
yeah,
sometimes that don't go over so well. Mad. But she thanked me because she had her hands full, right? She had a baby and a baby stroller and a whole thing. She thanked me. So I was like, sigh of relief. But it's a shame that we live in a society where you have to second guess yourself just for being polite. Hell, I was in Las Vegas, Nevada. I was walking from the MGM Grand over to New York, New York, right across the street. And I was walking down a deal, this big, long, walkway. And I was walking behind these guys who were complaining. They were young guys, and they were talking about, they don't have this, and I ain't got this, and the Benz needs this, and all this crazy stuff. We got to the doors. Well, the automatic doors didn't open up. Well, they just stood there. Like, they didn't know what to do. Like, they just stared at them. Like, where do we turn around and go back? I mean, the doors ain't opening. And I just walked past them and grabbed the door and opened it up and walked on through. And I'm like, what is this society come to?
That's no different. When we were headed to New Mexico, and I made the comment about the girl changing the tire on the side of the road with a guy.
He was sitting there watching.
Watching her change the tire.
I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, I would be too, a little bit.
I don't know how to change a tire.
But the fact that it was AAA, a girl, she was changing the tire. Good. I mean, he's just standing there lost.
But maybe he was standing out there, like, waving traffic, like, move over, woman at work here.
He didn't want a skinny jeans.
We were in Ireland. So, you rent a car in Ireland, you drive on the other side of the road, you have to drive a manual transmission with your left hand, which if you're not used to that, that's a different deal.
That's tough.
Yeah. So, and the roads are real narrow and all this stuff. So, about our fifth day into this trip, we pull up, and there's this real beautiful scenic area, and we stop and take some pictures, Jade and I, and this guy and girl come driving up in their deal. She's driving, he's riding, right? And we were making jokes about driving on the wrong side of the road. She says, well, I'm doing all the driving. She goes, he can't drive a manual. He can't drive a stick. And I'm like, wait a minute. And I know that's the problem. There's people in this generation who are listening to me talking about it, and they're like, well, I mean, there's a lot of people that can't do it. Let me tell you something. I knew how to drive a stick shift. My father told me, he said, you will learn how to drive everything with wheels, from a lawnmower to a tractor to a backhoe to a front-end loader to a bulldozer to a tank to an 18-wheeler. You're going to learn how to drive everything got wheels on it. And he taught me that. And so I was driving a stick shift when I was – my first car, I bought it when I was – when I just turned 15 years old, Mazda 626. 5-speed.
I think my first two vehicles were both standard transmission.
I have Tiptronic on my car. I just press the paddles on the side and it just all the stuff
you're
I need to do.
Bougie shop.
I'm sorry. I don't know what you're talking about.
Look, now you just got to think about it and it starts moving forward.
Yeah, it's just a similar thing. The car transmission, just like calculator. People don't need math because they got their iPhone and do the calculator. The car is like 50 years now.
Steve, what's 7 times 8?
56.
All right. See? There Steve knows money. He's another generation. That's 9 times 9.
81.
Okay. Hey. I love it. See? Don't ask him about history, but by God, he nailed it down on that multiplication table.
Tell money. I used to get beaten for multiplication, boy.
That still beats me up a little bit.
I used to get whippings.
My dad used to drive me crazy. He'd ask me. He just out of the clear blue. Boom. There it is.
Yeah.
7 times 1. 7 times 6. 42.
Oof.
I mean, just get after
beatings.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
But, because I'm kind of a sports car nerd, the automatic transmissions do actually make the cars go faster than the 5-speeds now, than the manual.
I get that. Tesla will drive itself.
Oh, yeah.
But my thing is, you should know how.
You should know how.
Because if the apocalypse happens.
Only manual cars are going to work.
Steve went to jail for stealing a tractor.
I know how to drive a standard.
That John Deere 6-speed ripping through the gears. Made it sexy.
We're past the statute of limitations, right?
Like, oh, well, no, those were charges were expunged, so it's like it never happened.
There we go.
So
that's the kind of thing, man. All I'm saying is you men out there and you women, give your men permission to be men. Just let them be men. I mean, because they're gonna fart, they're gonna belch, they're gonna gripe, they're gonna scratch themselves, they're gonna make weird noises at the dinner table under their armpit with their hand. And it's just, you know, they want to watch football.
There's only one job at our house that is like a man's job, according to my wife.
Taking out the trash.
No.
Oh.
Killing bugs.
Ah, that's a good one.
She'll take out the trash. She'll do all this other kind of stuff. But it comes up bugs. She's like, nope, that's your job.
I think these traditional gender roles like actually help relationships. I mean, I think there's an argument to be made for that. You know, everyone knows kind of like.
Well, we talk about that. I mean, you know, Jade does certain things that, you know, traditionally might be the man's role to do things. I came in yesterday, garage door, you know, comes up and there's this, you know, she had it all stacked up. There's all these bags of trash that were out there. She brought them to the garage. I took them to the street. Mm-hmm. Right. So there was that. So I finished that deal. Like, I didn't ask her to do that. Didn't expect her to do that. But, you know, it's just, you just do what works. Well,
and our wives are a little different because we are gone half the time, almost half the time. So they take on roles that normally, you know.
Well, that's why we're married to them, because we've married strong women. Yeah. Women who are individuals. I love what Will Smith said. Well, you know, Will Smith said, look, it's not my responsibility to make my wife happy. She should be happy as an individual. I'm happy as an individual. And then we get together as a couple, then we're happy together. It's not our responsibility. And I've always said that. You don't find, if you get into a relationship, it's not about becoming, you don't find an identity as a couple.
Yep.
You find an identity as an individual. And if those two individuals can come together, then, okay. But if we're out doing this or you know, your wife's out doing this or vice versa, then it does. You don't lose who you are because that other person's taken away. That's when relationships get toxic.
Yeah.
That right there. Because you've lost a part of you if that person's taken away. Look, I'm a complete puzzle all by myself. And look, humanity, we're all puzzles. Mm-hmm. We're enigmas wrapped up in a joke, man. I mean, we really are. We're still all trying to figure ourselves out. But I'm my own complete puzzle. All the pieces are here. If you look at your life like a puzzle and think about it, say, okay, I'm not a yard sale puzzle that's missing 9 or 10 pieces. All the pieces are in the box. I just got to figure out where all the pieces go. That's how a human being finds their identity. I find out where all the pieces of my life go. Now, I'm hoping that I don't have some flawed yard sale individual that is the other side of my life. I got to find that person who's got all the pieces in their box, too. Now, it's up to you. And I'm going to help you put your puzzle together. You help me put my puzzle together. We get together. It's going to be a beautiful picture. But if you don't do that, you're going to have a lot of missing pieces. That's what's wrong with relationships. And if men don't come out of their adolescence, let me tell you, these guys don't want to sit around being playboys when they're 50 years old. Look at Jeffrey Epstein. Here's Jeffrey Epstein. Here's a guy who's a billionaire, playing $77 million Manhattan, you know, house. And this guy's in jail for what? Pedophilia?
Yeah.
For messing around with children? A billionaire? You know what you could do with $1 billion? If y'all read 50 Shades of Grey,
do a lot.
I mean, you could tie girls up and they love it. It's nuts, man. And he's in there for underage, and I'm not even making jokes about it. It's horrible. Here's a guy. Why? Because of what? All the pieces of the puzzle weren't in his box.
Yeah.
Right? They weren't there. You got to do that, man.
Now he's toxic masculinity.
Yeah, that's
that right there.
But that's not masculinity.
But it's not masculinity. But that's the point. That's what you said it before.
It might be toxic maleness.
Yeah, but you can't be both.
Monster.
Like you said before.
Yeah.
It's toxic monster.
Yeah, I mean, that's what that is. But people, there are people, I've always said, you got to find your identity. You got to find your destiny and leave a legacy. If you know who you are, you can figure out where you're going. And once you accomplish that, even when you're gone, you'll leave something behind. So identity, destiny, legacy. Once you do those things, and this is so important as a man, most liberating thing a man can do is figure out who he is. Take the mask off. Friedrich Nietzsche said that you can only wear two faces to the world for so long before you forget which one is the real one. And so many men are wearing masks. That's why, let me tell you, 5-6 years ago, I took the mask off and I said, I'm going to be me. I don't give a if the world likes it or not. I don't care who appreciates it. I'm going to be me. And I'm not going to try to be my mentors. I'm not going to be the people that I look up to. You know, I'm not going to be the people that I listen to. I'm going to be me. If you don't like it, screw it. But I'm going to be me.
I like it.
Party foul!
There we go.
I like it.
Party time!
Man stuff.
Man stuff.
Being a man.
Yeah, I think my hair grew on my chest a little bit.
But, you know,
that's from the Jameson.
You on TV and you on live shows and stuff like that, you're the same person all the time. Everybody all asks time. Me, is he like that all the time? Yes, it's annoying as hell too. But
it is. It is. We get in the hotel rooms, I start yelling like this sometimes. My mom gets on to me all the time. She's like, I just wish you wouldn't. And I'm like, Mom, I'm gonna be me. I'm gonna be me, and I'm happy about it. I love my, you know, I love my family, I love my mother, but I ain't gonna be judged by anybody. If you want to judge me, that's fine. Judge me.
Do you think like being on the TV and being on that actually helped you come out?
No, I became me, and that's what put me on those platforms.
Okay.
I wasn't doing that until once I became me, once I took the mask off, then it's almost like the clouds opened up and God threw one big old finger through there and touched me and said, bing, there it is. And all of a sudden the door started opening up. Because until then I was faking it.
Yeah.
Until then I was apologizing. I didn't want to be me. I was embarrassed by me. I was insecure. People ask me all the time, they're like, man, you got so much confidence. I'm like, no, I was this insecure kid. Insecure kid. I was this person that just had no, like, look, I mean, come on, man. I go out in public all the time wearing a cowboy hat. One of the most ridiculous things you can wear unless you own a horse, unless you're on one. I don't mean I own one, but I mean if you're on one. Like people want to make fun of me and tell me, oh, you play. No, this is just me, man. It's my life. It's my world. It's the world I come out of. It's the world I live in. And I'm just hanging out in here. And here's the thing. Like, you know, we laugh all the time about doing keto diet, losing weight, and stuff like that. Look, I'm going to weigh 210 pounds when I die. You tell the pallbearers to weigh them, to just whoever you're going to get, weigh the coffin. I'm going to add 210 pounds to it. But that's what I'm going to be. Because that's what I am. Mm-hmm. Call it a dad bod, whatever. I got my tattoos. Somebody said the other day, they were like, man, you got so many tattoos. How can you be a Christian and have all them tattoos? You can kiss my ass. Because that's who I am.
Where's that angry white male?
Angry white male.
But I don't see
every
that pop up.
Every tattoo on my body is like Abraham's altar, man. You know, every time something happened in Abraham in the Old Testament, every time something happened, it's like he built an altar.
Yeah.
Every one of these tattoos right here, they're a permanent scar on my body. It's an altar to something. Even the cock on my chest, my thunder chicken right here.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to bring it out.
Oh, no.
There it is.
There
Boom.
It is. Cock-a-doodle-doo right there.
Look at it. That's a good-looking phoenix. You know why?
It's a thunder chicken.
My life was over, man. Yeah. It was dead. I was in the ashes, and the phoenix came back. But he freehanded that, and that looks like a chicken beak, so I call it my thunder chicken.
Yeah.
My thunder chicken, baby.
Don't show the nip. We're going to have to blur it out.
Yeah, there it is.
Got some pasties.
Yeah. Just like in El Paso, man. Only thing, what was it, Tyson?
El Paso is known for two things, man. Spicy food and dark nipples.
You can see them both at the public pool.
You can see
them
both at the pool, man.
Yeah! I love it, Shawnee. That's what I love about it, man. I love being a man. I just love being a man. You know? If I want a steak tonight, I'm going to go get a steak.
I'm about to have a burger.
Go get a burger. I've been thinking about burgers. I'm going to go grill a burger.
Mm-hmm.
Let your man be a man. Give your man permission to be a man. That's a big deal.
It is.
I don't need permission.
It is a big deal. Tony, she'll tell me, she'll say, you need to go get some, you know, guy time.
We do that.
It's like.
We do that. Mm-hmm. We do that. Yep. We've all been on the road together. Every man in this room, Tate. You going with us. We've been on the road together. And sometimes you just got to do man stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about toxic stuff. No. Man stuff. Smoke a cigar.
Yeah. Yep. Sip whiskey, smoke a cigar.
I just bought a brand new, it's gorgeous humidor.
I saw it.
Gorgeous. It came in, like Jade was like, okay. So the humidor for my cigars, and Jade was like, it came in, and she looked at it, she goes, wow, this is a pretty, just a really pretty thing. She's like, it's prettier than I thought it would be. It's a gorgeous piece of, you know, it's a box.
It's like six times the
just
size of mine.
Makes you feel like a man, you know? And now I'm going to go shopping and buy me some cigars and have a good time, buy a good scotch. I brought you back an Oban whiskey, mm-hmm. Sean, from Ireland.
Oh,
and I brought you
it.
Back some Green Spot
They're
whiskey.
Gone.
From mine. They're gone.
I drank all mine.
And you, I mean, just man stuff.
I open it up and Erin knows. She doesn't even want it. She knows that's Sean's drink. I'm like,
Sean's
drink. That's right. You know, daddy
juice.
I go
to the liquor daddy store. Juice. And I'm not, if you don't drink, you don't drink. But you know what? Maybe you like to go fishing. Maybe you like to go snow skiing. Maybe you like to go out and hunt. Maybe you just want to go hiking. You want to go sit in the woods somewhere. You sit in a hammock somewhere and collect your thoughts. Just go do what makes you feel alive. That's the deal. Because men are not made for the sidewalk. They're made for the wild. You got to put them out there. Put some dirt under the feet. Eat dirt. Rub mud on it. Spit on your wounds. Just do all that stuff. I'm telling you, just that's what we used to do. You scab your knee up, spit on it.
Rub some dirt on it.
Spit on it. Eat dirt. I don't care what you do. Drink out of a water hose.
Fire hydrants. I'm a city kid. I'm sorry.
Fire hydrant. New York.
Did you crash into it? How did you get the water out of it?
From Brooklyn.
You had some kids.
You had like a giant wrench?
Yeah, you had kids.
That's pretty manly, though, if you had one of those giant wrenches. Hey,
FDNY. Easy, Tiger.
The super in the building had the
giant wrench.
The giant wrench, and he'd open it up for the kids, which was illegal. But
you drink out of the hydrant?
Why not?
It's water.
It's water.
Somebody needs to take Bougie Sean out to the stock tank and let him go swimming.
I did.
All right. To what?
Easy 12.
I don't know. To what?
To what? I don't know. It's something about a stock tank.
Stock tank.
Is that where they grow the fishes?
No, the ones that cattle drink out of.
Out in the pasture that cattle get into.
Oh, okay, okay.
Look, I had a stream behind my house growing up. It had a creek, and it's still on the family property. We got thirsty. We scoop water up out of it and drink it.
Yeah, you're fine. I'm fine. We
catch crawdads in them. I can remember guys eating raw crawdads, man. They catch those crawdads in the creek, and they'd pull them out, and they'd eat the meat out of it. And I'm like, I ain't that hungry, but whatever.
It's like sushi.
Their own. It tastes like fish.
A country boy
smell
sushi.
Smell like chicken, but it tastes like fish. Smell like fish, but it tastes like chicken.
Whose accent is that?
I was going to say, what's your friend's name?
Yeah, I know.
Cheech.
What's he doing at the stock tank?
Yeah.
But just go. Just give. I there's so many emasculated men that are out there, though, that don't have the freedom to go out. And I love it when I see, I've got some friends out there, you know them, but we got friends that, you know, they just take off and they're like, you know what, I'm just going to go out and do stuff. Just stuff. Just, you know, run naked through the snow. I don't care. Stuff to feel wild, man. It's crazy.
Manly. Manly stuff.
Just do it. But then at the same time, the key to it is if you can add sensitivity to that, that's a real man. Somebody that knows. You might have callous hands, but you got a velvet touch. That's the deal, because you still have the feminine in your life. You have that, and you need to know how to relate to that, and that's a big deal. And when you don't know how to relate to that, that's when it becomes toxic, or when it becomes habitually abusive. It's toxic. You can't do that. So there's a balance there. You got to find that. You know, we don't just grunt and scratch and all that stuff and expect our women to be okay with that. I mean, take your shoes off when you come in a darn house.
Hell, that's true.
Take a shower every now and then, and you know, learn how to
put some beard oil on.
Put a little beard on. Get booty.
Even if you don't have a beard, just put it on.
Just put it on.
Yeah.
Just somewhere on your body, there's a place where more hair grows than others.
Yeah.
Put the beard oil there.
Right there.
Right?
For some guys, it's a small back. The back, right above the cheeks. Right,
like, I got two little patches. I got wings right here. I got two little patches.
There you go.
Like, why the hell does the hair start growing right here? Like, right here. Just two little, bam, like palm-sized patches. My wife, she'll just run her fingers through it. And so I'm like, stop!
That way, no, it comes back, look, full circle. When her head is resting on your chest right there, she can put her hands back there and just hold on.
Got those. Tyson, the philosopher.
Got those patches.
You can shave that. They make one of them shavers you can just reach back there.
Do they?
Yeah.
Like long arms?
Like a long arm shaver. That.
Shut up. Get me on Amazon.
No, they have
it's on Amazon.
What?
Takes the hair right out.
I'm not that much of a man.
Some people have to use that to wash their back, but you can also
shave.
Here's the thing.
Like, okay, so Sean, remember we were, remember me, you, and Jason were, and Sean were in somewhere. We went to Denny's to eat.
Very specific.
Oh, yeah. That was coming back from Houston to
Wichita
Falls.
Is that the bad service place or no service place?
No, that was me, you, and Vince.
Oh, okay.
And then we were in there, and there was this dude.
Oh, he looks like a Chewbacca.
No, that's where we had the black waitress.
Yeah.
And she was talking normal to us, and then she talked demonics to you, and you looked at her confused.
I was
like, you didn't know what she was. Like, she was trying to tell you something. And I was like, Sean, do you understand what she's saying? You're like, I don't have a clue.
I just wanted an omelet with avocado.
Psalm 7.
53:23.
I wanted an omelet with avocado. She was like, honey, boo dib, boo dib. And I said,
what you talking about? You want some watermelon? And so I was like, do you know what she's saying? He's like, I don't have a clue. So anyway.
She was just trying to stay woke.
And she was woke. I don't know. I think she was
woke.
But so we're sitting in there, and I look over, and there's this guy wearing a tank top. Mm. And I'm like, bro, it's hot outside. Why are you wearing a sweater? I mean, what?
He was hairy.
He was so hairy.
He's
just
a Chewbacca.
Just like you couldn't see his skin. He was so hairy. Like, why would you put on a tank top to do that? Like, why would you put on a shirt?
Just come out shirtless.
Just come out shirtless. You're already, you're like, you're self-clothed.
You shave your hair like a shirt.
Just little bands from little here
V-neck
down.
Shirt, make a V-neck shirt.
This guy could have done it. He was a gorilla. It was terrible. But I'm like, you know what?
Some women like that.
Just be a dude.
Yeah.
Just be a dude. Sean let the hair grow.
He wears tank tops.
But I look good in them, though.
Yeah.
Oh, here it comes.
I look good in my tank tops with my shirt open.
Here you go. Easy shaft. Easy shaft.
Let him know.
Show off the taco meat.
That's all taco meat right here.
Taco meat.
That's it.
Taco meat. I'm trying to think of what black people eat this meat.
This, chicken?
Like
the most obvious one.
I'm talking about black meat. Taco meat. Look at this brisket right here. Come on. Here's a good look at this brisket right here, Johnny Boo. Look at it. Don't put it up. Come on. There it is. There it is. That's one of my favorite pictures. I got Justin from Nine Line, and me and you, we're just sitting at the bar like this, while just all spread out like this.
There you go. Just being a man.
I'm a man. Just comfortable, man. You know what? If I'm a little bit overweight, tough. Love me. Just love me.
I'm fine with being overweight. 80% body fat right here.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. You done got all. Look at that. This 30% body fat right here.
Look at this.
I'm just going to start inserting like sensor bars over all.
No.
That'd be great.
Let it go.
Why are you going to censor this? There's nothing wrong with this.
Totally put black bars on it.
Look at this. Let them hold it. Party time, Mom.
That's manly right there.
I had to get this out. I had to just talk about men today because men they're a dying breed. America, I don't want to. You know what? When you wear skinny jeans and you fart, you get a man bun. That's all I'm saying. You got to work on this stuff, guys. Be men. Scratch your balls. I don't care if anybody's offended by this episode. I don't care. I'm giving men permission to be men, and I'm telling you, women, let them be men. Now, don't come at me sending me messages talking about, oh, but he did this and he did that. Blah, blah, blah. You had a bad man. You need a good man. Find you a good man. A man that knows who he is. He's wearing too many masks. He didn't get out of his adolescence. That's the bottom line. And just let it go with that. So you women out there, you single moms or whatever, your dads or beta males, and you don't know how to talk to your sons about sex and all. Show them this episode. Show them. With a straight face. Tell him.
Even Aaron tells me sometimes, put some bass in your voice. I'm like, whoa.
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 Whoa. Whoa.
You want
whoa.
That?
Whoa.
Do you really want that? She says, put some bass in your voice, Sean. I'm like, girl.
All
right. I'll stop being sensitive with you then. I'll be real.
Yeah.
Like, oh, now we joke girl. About it, but it's funny because I watch your relationship with your daughter, mm-hmm. and it's precious. It's great. I mean, you went to the gym, to the store, the whole deal, wearing a little...
Kitty ears
on your head all day yesterday.
I didn't care.
Yeah.
I mean, I got stared at in the men's locker room, and I was like, fine, look at me.
Have you ever seen the old dudes that go in the locker? What is that with the old men in the gym locker rooms that just walk around naked?
Naked? I don't know.
I mean, what is it, dude? It's a universal thing.
You mean you're not supposed to do that?
Like, who wants to see that little silly putty hanging around? I mean, like, dude, hey, you walk around, you got your flabby little white butt, and you got a little folds in your cheeks like this. And I'm like, it is. It's nasty. What is it universally about
they're being
old
men? Though.
Men
because
men
they can't do it at home, so they got to do it there.
No, I don't know, man. It's like a World War II era thing. I don't know. He's got my dad back in the day. My dad would just get stripped down and just go in the gym. I'm like, Dad. We going home. You can take a shower at the house. I mean, not like you putting on a suit. Dad, come on. But I mean, there's something about that generation that just wants to walk around naked everywhere they go in a gym.
I'm going to get to that point, I think, though.
You just turn that age, you're like, I'm done with clothes.
Yeah.
What a hassle.
Being a man, going back to caveman roots.
What age is that? I don't know.
Oh, my Lord have mercy. Here we go, folks. All right. Send your hate mail to steve@watchchad.com. We don't care. Thank you for tuning in. Go to watchchad.com. Catch us out on the road. We're going to do some live shows. Tyson Pfeiffer. Tyson Pfeiffer is a hilarious comedian. You need to go to TysonPfeiffer.com. That's Pfeiffer. Pfeiffer. TysonPfeiffer.com. TysonTheComic.com. Go out there, find him on the road. Always doing shows. Always hilarious. Go do that. And, of course, Bougie Sean. It don't matter. He coming home with me.
Yeah.
Hi, Bo. Party foul Steve Candice, the queen of the Ethiopians, and Mark. The puppet master himself driving this starship. Hey, I hope we pissed you off. Go be men. I love y'all. God bless you. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.